has blessed the ministry, and we have around 100 people in church on a Sunday. We are Pea Ridge is where a big Civil War battlefield happened, and we're actually kind of a bedroom town to Bentonville, Arkansas, the home of Walmart. So, I had retired, and I have been serving this church now as their pastor for several years now.
Well, very good. Glad that God's good work is happening there in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Glad to hear that the Mission Start is doing well and God's gifts are being delivered there. Well, let's talk about the text today. We're going to take a look at Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 32. What would you like for us to know about our daily lectionary, our text in Mark 9 today before we get started?
I believe it's important probably to know with this reading that it follows. Jesus had just been up in the Mount of Transfiguration with his three disciples, Peter, James, and John. He comes down from that moment of glory, and then there's this big hulderall, this misery situation, which immediately has to deal. So I always think, well, we come from glory now, but then to the reality of the misery of what can happen in people's lives. But then in the end, of course, there's a victory because Jesus does heal this man.
Very good. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 32, beginning at verse 14. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood, and it has often cast him into fire and into water, but to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." All right, so verse 14, and when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. When they came to the disciples, why was there a great crowd there?
Of course, Jesus was up in the mountain with his other three disciples, but here these disciples are waiting down below in the plain. That, of course, at this point, Jesus is very popular, and so he draws a big crowd. And the crowds always, of course, are always the fans who support Jesus. They're those who are the curiosity seekers, what's going to happen, which side's going to win, the scribes or Christ. And, of course, there always are the enemies of Jesus trying to find some fault that he might have done. So this crowd, there's a lot of commotion, and there's commotion going on in here because, as we can see, there's an argument happening. And the thing is evidently this man has a sick son, and so there's a debate. Can Jesus heal him? Does Jesus have power to heal this? And even the disciples all get involved in this commotion. And actually, as we see a little later, they try to even heal this man.
And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able."
Right. So, of course, the crowd was originally dealing with the disciples, and evidently there's a disappointment because, as you had just read, they were not able to cast this person out. So now, here, Jesus approaches this crowd, and so there's the amazement, the excitement. Of course, at this point, Jesus is a lot more popular. Shortly hereafter, they're going to turn against him and want him crucified, obviously. But at this point, there's a celebrity. Are they going to get to see a magic trick? Are they going to get to see a show here? Who's going to win in this thing? So they were excited, and many were happy to greet him. And then, as you read, Jesus says, "Well, what are you arguing about?" Obviously, Jesus knows what they're arguing about, for he's all-knowing. But he wants this to be said out loud, to be proclaimed. Of course, with Jesus, and it's like any celebrity, there's always those who are for him and those who are against, the followers and the enemies. And so wherever Jesus goes, especially at this time of his ministry, there's going to be a crowd that's going to gather around him, some to find fault, some to be impressed and amazed. Of course, and into that crowd then comes this man who calls out to him for help, "Teacher, I brought my son to you. He has a spirit in him." We see, obviously, this Jesus a little later points out this man has faith, but his faith is a little bit wavering. It's interesting that he calls him teacher. He doesn't call him Lord. You know, "Lord God, I know you can do all things," but he comes to him as teacher, rabbi. But, of course, he has a very great concern here. He has a son who has this spirit, evil spirit in him that does all these amazing things. When that spirit fills him, it seizes him, it throws him down, he foams at the mouth, he grinds his teeth, becomes rigid, stiff like a board. So it's a horrible situation. He's helpless. Probably he tried to seek some other help, but nobody is able to help him. And with his weak faith, he knows that maybe Jesus will help him and can help him, and is his only hope. This also brings us to mind that when Jesus was here on the earth, Satan is constantly after him. We're aware of that. Just recently, one of our Sunday texts was the fact of the temptation of Jesus. So, and Jesus conquered the devil in that temptation, never fell for any sin. But, of course, the devil doesn't, I guess he ran away that day, but he doesn't leave up. So he's constantly around Jesus with these spirits, evil spirits, these demons that torment people. And then when Jesus is in the presence, this spirit really wields out. And then also I thought one other interesting thing is it makes him mute, so this poor young man can't even cry out for help when this happens. So it was a pretty serious medical issue here, and no earthly hope at all.
And Jesus' response here, when the person says, talking about his son, "So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." Jesus responds, and he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me."
Yeah, Jesus, very, very frustrated. There's probably two big points here. One thing, as you had read earlier, the disciples, they asked the disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. I don't know if they tried and couldn't do it, or if they just said, we're not able to do that at this point. But evidently they did try because Jesus said they weren't doing it right. We cannot look in their motives, but perhaps they were just trying, well, maybe we can put on the show. Maybe we can do this thing. And that, so here Jesus is frustrated. Oh, faithless generation, you scribes and Pharisees out here, you disciples, I have taught and taught and taught, and there's more teaching to go and more questioning by the disciples. And some of the people there, too, they just don't get it. I mean, what does he say? What is he, earlier, at another point, you know, he says, the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised up, and the good news is proclaimed and preached, and still you just don't get it. Maybe that's true today, too, isn't it? Because a lot of folks have had so much opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and just keep waiting for, you know, he did that, even raising the dead. Then they say, well, show us who you are.
And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. So the spirit, the when they brought the boy to Jesus, when the spirit saw him, it responded immediately.
Yeah. Maybe from two points. One is the spirit has this fear. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Secondly, it could be I'm going to really show Jesus my power. And so he really convulses, and just the demonic presence. Satan has this army of devils and demons and evil angels, you know, still working today. And when Jesus is present, that's, I think, when they really wield their power, when they really come out strong. So he shows all these things, and to a violation of this boy. Mm-hmm. These aren't natural things. These aren't how God created us, but these things do happen, and they even obviously happen to children of God as well. We're not immune.
And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, and has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. So the spirit has, as you said, has done all things that are harmful to this boy. They're not of the nature that God would have for us. These are all things that come from this evil spirit and from evil. And it has often cast him into fire, into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us, says the boy's father.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. First of all, Jesus wants to know, well, how long has this been happening? Well, you and I both know quite clearly that Jesus knows exactly how long it's been happening. But he asks this question so that the answer can be given out to the crowd. This isn't something that I have got a little headache or a little seizure or something this morning. This has been happening continuously since he was a child. And of course, it's very violent, and he can't control anything. If there's a fire there, it can cause him to jump into that fire. You can see the father grabbing to save his son, or into water to try to destroy him. So evidently, there's been a battle. This father's been battling for a long time, and some of us too maybe have sometimes had to battle things for a long time. But what's interesting, this man who comes to Jesus, knowing that Jesus is his only help, he says, if you can do anything. And now that's kind of an interesting statement. Mm-hmm. If you can. why did he come to Jesus? Because he knows you can't. You are, but this is his little moment of doubt, and there's always this battle, you know. Even with the finest Christians, the devil is always creating doubt. And so, yes, Jesus, you are Lord, but if you can, and that's why then it's interesting, Jesus in verse 23 comes back and says, if you can, you know, he's kind of, what do you mean, if I can, you know, if you can. All things are possible for him who can believe. I know sometimes people would say, Lord, if you are willing. So there's the better thing. Obviously, Jesus can, if you are willing. And I know that's how we pray, too. You know, when I pray with someone who's sick in the hospital or at home, we always say, thy will be done, O Lord. Surely you can. He can heal anything. We all can tell miracle stories of someone who says, I shouldn't be alive. And we saw God's hand. God works through the medical knowledge and medicine and technology, and he just keeps on giving us more. But the bottom line is, it's in Jesus' hands. And Jesus can do all things. But always, we never question, if you can make me well. Mm-hmm. Lord, you can make me well if it's your will.
And we see in verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yeah, and so he has this little grain of belief. So this is a wonderful statement of faith also. You know, my faith is not perfect. Can any of us say our faith is perfect? So help my unbelief, strengthen my faith. But in this case, as we know already, you know, Jesus is going to do the healing. Jesus can work with just a small grain of faith. Fortunately, salvation does not hinge on my degree of faith. It hinges on God's power. And he can take a little tiny spark and make a roaring fire, I guess you might say. So this is something probably that all of us have to battle. And worthiness never depends on us. It's just that we have faith. Lord, I'm drowning. Save me. Mm-hmm. Lord, I'm lost. Save me. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.
Certainly something that we could all pray. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. We are studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Richard Mayer from Messiah Lutheran Church in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying in Mark chapter 9 today. Stick around for more His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
You've discovered Worldwide KFUO. Now discover how easy it is to listen to KFUO where you are. Discover our online stream and on-demand programs that allow you to listen where, when, and how you want. Discover how easy it is to listen on your radio, smartphone, Wi-Fi radio, and other listening devices. You've discovered the Christ-centered message that KFUO proclaims daily in both word and song. We are KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. on air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily New Testament reading today in Mark chapter 9. We're studying with the Reverend Richard Mayer from Messiah Lutheran Church in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Pastor Mayer, are we ready to pick up at verse 25?
That sounds good.
All right. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." So when Jesus saw the crowd come running, he rebuked the unclean spirit and said, "You come out, you mute and deaf spirit. I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." That's quite authority Jesus speaks with there, isn't it?
He bosses the devil around like he was a little punk baby. there's, you know, it's kind of leading to that there was a crowd here, and here it evidently the crowd is getting bigger and bigger, and so Jesus kind of quickly acts and goes ahead and fulfills this man's long dream of healing his son, and you know, leave him and never enter him again. This is the beauty of Jesus. When he heals, I mean, it's a permanent healing, or anything he does, as his will is, it's permanent. He scolds this spirit, this unclean spirit. He commands and pushes it around. And of course, then the next verse reminds us how he just the evil spirit has one final zing, one final effort, one final powerless struggle, and you know, as he convulses this boy, really terrible, and then he drops down like a corpse, freezes. So, but of course, that's not going to hamper Jesus. Jesus, verse 27, you know, just says, "And he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose." So, a very quick and instant healing.
I think it's interesting that Jesus says, not only does he command the spirit to come out, but he also says, "And never enter him again."
Yeah. So this is one more triumph. I always think about the devil in the wilderness. You can almost see his in quotes, tail between his legs, and here's another one, you know, his tail between his legs. I mean, he's done for. Jesus conquered him in this moment again, another one of his many, many defeats. And the Bible has many of these defeats, but doesn't even list every one of them. So, but Jesus just, and here you also see the tenderness of Jesus. So There's the strength of him, devil out of him, and then the tenderness of Jesus. He takes him by the hand, just a little touch. It doesn't even comment on any words he says. Just takes him by the hand, and the boy's healed immediately.
But everyone thinks that he's dead. Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. After everyone thinks that he's dead, he was laying still. After the spirit came out, he was like a corpse. So everyone thought that he was dead.
Yeah.
As you said here, Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose.
Makes it an even bigger miracle, doesn't it? Because, I mean, what's the hardest miracle? But to me, when you think about someone being lifeless and dead and then raised again, I mean, so for the crowd, I mean, this is even a double wow.
And so then the disciples ask the question, why could we not cast it out? Why couldn't we cast out this demon or this evil spirit? And of course, they ask him privately.
Yeah, because it says he took them to a house. So they entered a house. So I guess I think of my years. You know, I used to have vicars. And when you do something with the vicar or a student pastor, then you... later on, you say, "Okay, what happened? You know, we did this, or we dealt with this. What happened?" So, a teacher is always evaluating with the student what is this. And so, of course, Jesus has some heavy, intense work to do. I mean, these disciples are going to have to get it together pretty soon. So he takes them to this house and to teach them. And, of course, then the question is, well, why couldn't we do it? Why weren't we able to do it? And then that next verse, 29, says, and he said to him, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. So I guess it's not us who does this. It's always the Lord. We have to turn it over to the Lord. When we're in the hospital, we always tell the people, let's thank God for these powerful drugs today, wonder surgeries and all of these things, but still, what heals that person? It's the prayer. I went to the Lord. Lord, you can do anything. Work with this doctor. Bless these medications. So prayer, both in physical health and in, you know, here's a spiritual situation where this evil spirit possessed this man.
Mm-hmm. This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Almost implies there are different types of spirits.
Well, yeah, that could be. Mm-hmm. That can be also true.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything about this? Anything else about this section, verses 14 through 29, before we go on to verse 30?
I guess just to summarize it up, Christ has the final power, and he conquered this evil spirit, as he has many along the way, and in the end, he will defeat the devil. The devil will have his final moment here on this earth after the last judgment. So we do not have to fear anything evil. God is always with us and he protects us.
Amen. Verse 30, they went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise. But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him.
Yeah. Jesus, first of all, if he would have ever hung his shingle out, you know, medical helper, can cure all, there would have been a mob, but that's not why he came. He came to proclaim and to preach the gospel of good news. So that's why he's always quickly leaving, because he doesn't just want to be a healer, he wants to be a teacher. And he has some pretty intense work to do on these disciples yet, so that he can, so they'll be ready. And we have to say that in the end, because we know the rest of the story, they, of course, there were denials, there were running away from the disciples at Jesus' death, but in the end they did step up to the plate after his ascension, and they all, I guess, all his teaching was not in vain. And sometimes, you know, you wonder, am I getting through to these people? Are they understanding it? And then, lo and behold, when they're up to bat, and that's what the disciples did, they came forward. So, but here he just heals this man who had fallen down as though he was dead, and now he turns right around and says, "You see me victorious, but I'm going to be delivered to men, and I'm going to be killed. But I will rise in 3 days." Of course, I like that last verse 32. You can just see them looking at each other. They don't understand the saying, you know. And, of course, they were afraid to ask him. I guess we've asked him 50 times, and they're not asking him again. So they were kind of slow to get it. But,
they are.
Of course, he had to be delivered into the hands of evil people, because that's. Out of this evil comes our salvation. And that's maybe, I don't know if this is what the gospel writer is trying to show, but, you know, Jesus shows one miracle here with this healing of this very violent situation. And yet the greater miracle is yet to come, when Christ will be killed, and after 3 days he will rise again. So he has power over not only someone else's death, but the greater miracle, his own.
Mm-hmm.
Can a dead man raise himself? Jesus can.
Let's go back to verse 30. They went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples. He wanted to do this alone. He wanted to teach them, what was going to happen. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. He wanted to teach them alone, but yet this is not a message that would be kept secret, right?
When I'm sure you've been in a crowd or something, when there's a huge crowd, it's mostly chaos. How much teaching can go on?
Mm-hmm.
You have to have just quiet, private time, meditation time, and so that's why he didn't want people to know where he was. He wanted to go and teach them one-on-one, so to speak, privately. Like sometimes our seminary professors would bring a small group of us together around a coffee table and just visit, and you can just accomplish so much more than when there's just chaos, crowds, excitement, cheering. Probably when they saw this young man get up from that ground, there's probably all kinds of cheering and yee-haw. So, the greater message is I did not come to heal seizures or sickness or the things. I came to be delivered into man's hands, to be crucified, to pay for all of our sins, and to rise again victoriously.
Amen. Pastor, looking over this text as a whole, anything else you'd like for us to learn today as we wrap up our study?
I just keep going back to the point about there's a moment of glory, let's stay on the mountaintop, but then there's the life, but in the end there's victory. So sometimes I think people think that once I'm a Christian, it's just going to all be great, 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 great glory. But it isn't. There's also the reality of life. But no matter what the devil hurls at us, victory is ours through Jesus Christ. And what did Luther say? They can take our family, our goods, our child, our wife, our life, but they can never touch your soul. You're safe in the hands of Jesus. I guess I can see him tenderly reaching to each one of us as well.
Amen. Amen. We've been studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Richard Mayer from Messiah Lutheran Church in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Pastor Mayer, thanks so much for being our guest and helping us study this text in Mark chapter 9 today.
Thank you, Andy. It was my pleasure.
God bless you and all the saints at Messiah Lutheran Church in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got more His Time. Hope you can stick around for that, listeners. And don't forget, morning prayer coming up during the 9 o'clock hour. More His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO.